Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you, wonderful Father, for your faithfulness, O Lord, to thy word of promise, O Lord, to every one of us. Thank you, Lord Father, for your grace and your mercy towards every one of us. And Lord, for your care, especially, Lord, and to see our needs, O Lord, and guide us in our way and fulfill, O Lord, the things that is the desire in our heart for righteousness, O Lord, and let our life be truthful, O Lord, to walk in thy way, and that we be staying in that which you have called us into, Father, to climb up higher and to come to that place where we would be one with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know, Father, Lord, like great Ma and Father Joe, eager as you are, Father, you look down upon us as eagles that are learning to fly higher and learning to come to that place where we could see the thing that you want us to see, that our faith will be built stronger and stronger every day, Lord, that we may come to that place of union with our Lord Jesus Christ as one. And as Jesus Christ himself said, I am in the Father, Father in me. And Lord, we want to be just like that, that you will be in us, and we are in you, in Christ in us as well. Amen. Lord, we ask for your grace now, Lord, as we approach thy word, looking to what you have for us, to make us to understand, to see the hour that we are living in now, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your blessing. We ask that you bless us now, Lord, as you approach thy word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. All right, Matthew 24, verse 26. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, do not go for, behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, shine even unto the west, so shall also the parousia, or the presence of the Son of Man, be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagle be gathered together. So now here we already said that in the last day, when anybody say Christ is there or Christ is there, do not believe it. Or Christ is somewhere in the secret chamber, some secret place, some kind of secret environment that you have to go, like we see in Jim Jones' case or David Koresh nonsense, and out there in Philippines, out there what we have, how you pronounce it? Kimoloi. Yeah, you know, he's out there. You know, out there, some secret place out there where the Garden of Eden is. So do not believe it. Do not go out there. Because if Christ coming, this is going about the parousia. Alright, the word coming has always been so badly misinterpreted in the Bible. They've used the word present or coming, and that parousia means the actuary is the coming, which means the series. And we think of the first coming of Christ, we realize before Christ came, the message was given first. Right? There was a Herod even before that. So before Christ was presented, you see, all right, the word must go forth. Behold the word, then behold the man, which the word points to, which was the one who declared himself through messengers. All right, so then we see the same thing here. That we see in this generation, Brother Bram was sent on last century, but in this last age, God sent a messenger to give us a message. And that message we know we can identify in the Bible to come out of the system, come out of darkness. And even Luke 17:30 that we talk where we examine. Alright, the day of the Son of Man that we are now seeing, the manifestation of the prophetic ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ revealed through the ministry of Brother Branham. Alright, the one particular sign, the sign of Messiah, that Jesus told his upper that you will never see, because one of these you will not see. But it will be in the day as it was like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, the day of Noah, the day of Lord, when people are marrying, giving marriage, and so on and so forth. Here wars and rumors of wars, and this thing will be. And we saw it. Alright? So when we see those things and we see the sign, we heard the message, we come right back to the Word of God. And that is the main important thing. The last message of the hour, of the age. Now when the Bible verse 20 says, for wheresoever the carcass is, there shall be the eagle be gathered together. No, the word carcass, the Greek word is toma. The word carcass, you know what a carcass is? It's an animal that is slain as food. So that's a carcass. So whatever the carcass is, the eagle will come and eat it. So it's toma. If you go to the book of Luke, chapter 17, and verse 37. Luke chapter 17, verse 37. And it reads almost the same. It says, and they answered unto him, where, Lord? And he said to them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagle be gathered together. Alright, so if you read from verse 34 onwards. Alright, Brother Kaker, would you read from verse 34 to 37 then, in the book of Luke 17?
I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. One shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together.
Right. So the word body here means, it's a Greek word soma, not toma, soma. Soma means the body, but not the body of a dead animal. Alright? So the first one we read in Matthew is the carcass, means food freshly slain. You know, eagle eat fresh food. Okay, but some eagle are just so bad that when there's no food, of course they eat animal they are dead for some time. They'll still try to eat whatever they can salvage. Alright, but eagle always eat freshly food. But here, Jesus said, two of you in the field, one taken. Two will be sleeping, one taken. That one taken here means to take to learn. Strangely, huh? And we are taken to learn where? To learn, come to the place where we learn. And then at the same time, there where the body of Christ comes to eat the food. But in the rapture, the word soma here is used. Wheresoever the body is, there the ego will be gathered. So, Luke presented slightly different. Luke presented not only just the people gathering together to eat the word of God, but presented to the people where they will be gathered together as a body of Christ. Interestingly on that. Alright, let's go back to Matthew 24 then. And verse 29 onwards. Alright, Matthew 24, verse 29 to 31. Brother Henry.
Matthew
24,
29 to 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall down from heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one of the heaven to the other.
Amen. So now here, in the book of Matthew, in fact, if you study this chapter together with Luke and even Mark, where the question was asked, you find that these three questions are actually put together in such a way that they are not sequential, okay? Alright, because you already said, if you look into your Bible, Matthew 24, 1 to 14, after 14, we have to jump to 23, because verse 15 to verse 22 are sort of an interjection. Alright, because if you read again in verse 15 onwards, verse 14, okay, let me read to you chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for the witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And when you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever read, let him understand. Then let that which be in Judea flee into the mountain. Let him which is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. But woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. but pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great affliction, tribulation, great tribulation, as King James will use, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those that be shortened, there be no flesh be saved. But for the elect sick, those days shall be shortened. Now, if we read 14 onwards to 15 downwards, you think that it is a connection. It is not. Because by itself, 15 to 22 already talks about the abomination of this, the desolation that is in in the year 70 AD, when the Roman soldier army lays siege to Jerusalem. That is all what you're talking about. If you're on a housetop, don't go down and take your clothes, just flee out. If you're out there in the field, don't come back and take your belonging. Run! You see, when the army lays siege, they just wait until there's no food inside, and there's such great affliction that people just die, and the baby die, they eat the baby, and so on. Read the book of Josephus. You know. Alright? And verse 23 is when you have to read verse 23 after you read verse 14. Then you will understand. You talk about the end time. But Jesus got through that great tribulation of Israel in 70 AD. For that event that took place in 70 AD. But it also projects into the future of something that Israel will still have to experience. The day of Jacob's trouble that is ahead. And that will affect us. Alright? So when we read that, for he says down in verse 29, then immediately after the tribulation, you see, it just a tribulation of those days. And you know that by reading verse 29, 30 and 31, he talks about the stars shall fall from heaven, the moon will not give her light, the sun will be darkened. Alright, and there shall appear the Son of Man in the heaven. But this thing did not take place in the year 70 AD. Right? You all know that, huh? It didn't take place. I mean, it didn't happen. You see? So therefore we see that when the question that was asked of Jesus Christ, you can see over in verse 3. Let us go back to verse 3, just look at it. The disciple asked, tell us when shall these things be? Then the second question, what shall be the sign of your parousia? That means that you're coming back and of the end of the world. So this is what they were given Christ, as Christ just put all together and partly mentioned about what will happen to the temple. And that we read in 15 to 22. And that will be that was a great tribulation for the children of Israel at that time when they were in Jerusalem. Okay? But still about concerning his coming, he goes forward. Don't, if someone said there is Christ here or Christ said, don't believe it. For there shall be first that lightning and how they start from one corner of the heaven, it will spread right to the other corner of the opposite end of the heaven. So that is talking about the illumination of the Word of God that bring forth our understanding of the soon coming of Christ. John the Baptist was sent forth with a message. Alright, and it spread throughout the whole of Judea. And people came to be baptized of him, so that they are looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And John did not know when the Messiah will be coming. But after a few days, after preaching for, you know, quite some few weeks or months, and then he said, behold, the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. Alright. So now let's go on to the next one in verse 32 to 35. Verse 32 to 35. Friend, read.
Now let this parable from the fig tree. When its branches already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. As surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all the things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away.
Alright, so let us examine here again. This is a question about this generation shall not pass. And then we ask ourselves a question, whether it's 70 years, 80 years, or 120 years. Right? So now I want you to look at certain verses of the Bible just to compare. Luke 17:25. All right. And still, so they can have an understanding of what the word generation means. It's still the same Greek word, genia, but by looking at the verses that we are going to read, three of them, and see how we read within the context what it says. Okay? Luke 17:25. Brother KK.
But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation.
See, now, when Jesus said, but first must he, referring to Christ, suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Who was he preaching to? This generation don't mean the Gentiles. They have nothing to do with the Gentiles. The gospel was sent. Jesus said, I came to seek the lost of the house of Israel. The gospel was first preached to the Jew. So he said that I will be suffered. He said in the third person. He shall suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. What does it mean? What does this word generation mean? The people, right, that is then living, the Jewish people. Right, you understand that? So the word generation doesn't deal with time, but these people. Alright, next, Acts 13:36.
For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell on his feet and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption.
Alright, for David, after he had served his own generation, he served his own generation, served his own people of that time, his time, the people of his time, right? So the generation of David, he's talking about people, you see. Not about time, but the people of that time. But he's always referring to the people. Genius. Mark 9:19.
He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me.
O faithless generation, O faithless people. That's what generation means. So the word generation, Greek word, genius. The people, the nation of that particular time. So when the Bible said, this generation shall not pass away, it will be the generation of people that see the fig leaf being put on. And I believe I will have to see it. I'm born in 48, though I'm a little earlier. So, this generation shall not pass away. But because I'm born in January, before May 14, I might pass away. Huh? But the little January might not, if they live until 120 years old. You see, we are looking at time. The Bible must have given us something to look at, to make us aware of the hour. I mean, if you go back to the first coming of Christ, before he came, you know, hundreds of years before the Messiah came, all these prophets were looking into the Word of God. Daniel was one of them, trying to figure out what all those other prophets before him was talking about. He was studying, he was prayers to answer, understanding when the Messiah would come. And because he was looking into it, the Lord sent an angel and told him. And then he gave him the prophecy of 70 weeks. The Daniel 70 weeks, as we know it. And with you, we can see how the time of Christ, of the Messiah, is coming. You see. So, if there's nothing wrong for us to look into the Bible and to try to understand when Christ is going to come. But there are some people, they got so tired of, you know, because there are so many false predictions out there. Oh, way back already. Hundreds of years back. There were all kinds of predictions that Christ would come in cultic groups, there, you know. It never came to pass. Not only prediction, they make it such a way that it is a prophecy. Right? It was a prophecy, yes. Such and such a day, they changed it. After all, it didn't come, they changed it. And so on and so on. Now, we can predict a year, but we cannot fix it as a touch of the Lord. We can say, the Lord may come next year. Right? But when we say, he will come next year, you are saying 100%. And when we do that, we'll get ourselves into trouble. This happened before in some anti-message preacher in the Philippines, over in Africa as well. You know. But some apologize that they really make a mistake. Now one man over in Hong Kong, in his a Caucasian, he predicted back in 1980. He predicted that, you know, that the Lord will come. And he said, if it doesn't happen, he's going to throw away the Bible in the receiver basket. And I told him to take it back. You need it, because we're going over there for the convention, Brother Jackson's convention. We fly back to Singapore. The date that you're given will come and go. I said, I'm coming back to Singapore. Well, anyway, he continued to minister, but he got himself into some kind of strange doctrine now. And that's why we have a problem. When people are thinking they're so sure, until you really have heard it from God that such a day is fixed, then you can say, thus saith the Lord. And yet, if anybody can say, the Lord told me it was such a certain day, December 25th, 2020, I won't believe him for one bit. You know why? The Bible says, no man knows the time and the hour, the day. That's a lie. And yet, many of them just ignore what the Bible said and fix the day. And that's what the man did. It's scary. All right. Let us go and look at verse 36 now, Matthew 24:36, and see what the Bible said. And take heed to this verse. Okay. Matthew 24:36.
But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
So we need to take heed to this, huh? The angels do not even know. And Jesus can tell, my Father only knows. He himself, when he speaks, he didn't even know. You got it? Well, I was reading an article, you know, sister sent me from America, Sister Jenny Piper, about Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. You know Watchman Nee? You all know, right? I mean, I love his book, and he's a very practical man and has come to Christian living. But of course, on the point, everybody kind of disagree, but that doesn't matter. But he's really somebody. And then he has a disciple who's called Witness Lee. Witness. Alright? Witness Lee. And he tried to explain the Godhead. In one moment, he got it right. Next moment, he make a mess of it, and he returned to the Holy Trinity. And he was saying that Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he has unlimited power because he was God. Though he was man, yet he had unlimited power as God. If he had unlimited power, then how come he said, I cannot do everything, right? Until I see my Father. That means the power is limited to him. He cannot just do what he liked. I mean, you are son of God, you are daughters of God, you are children of God. We have power, but we cannot just simply go about doing what we want to. And so why, when we come to this doctrine of this seven thunder thing and about speaking the word what Brother Abraham said about, you know, and how that in days to come and in the future we'll be able to speak what words to bring forth life and creation. And I can tell, I said this, I kind of laugh many times when people talk like that. And everybody was trying to compete with each other. Huh? What kind of animal are we going to speak? What are you going to speak? You speak what? Tyrannosaurus Rex, then our speaking one, the bigger one, Ultrasaurus, and then Super Ultrasaurus is the life. That's kind of crazy thing that people want to think about speaking the word. There's a whole lot of responsibility. Even that's what Jesus said when he was given the power of the word. He didn't go around speaking just as he liked. Why didn't he heal everybody? Right? The poor, the badass, why didn't he heal everyone? You see, that's the reason why we need to discipline ourselves. We need to be submissive to the Lord. That's how we learn from day to day. We walk with Him and learn. Jesus Christ grew up learning, right? Until 30 years old. He was so perfectly walking with the Lord. That's why God said, it pleased me, for in whom all fullness of the world dwells. Yet the fullness of the world dwells, he cannot simply use it as he likes. You know. Okay. Alright. Verse 37 to 39. Here we see the same thing that's being repeated early on, 37, 39. As in the day of Noah, world, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall they be the coming of the Son of Man be. Of course, this was generally speaking. You see, when Christ came the first time, before he appeared to the children of Israel, John the Baptist was sent. Message was given. And yet the religious people do not see it. And yet many of the common people do not even see it. They go about marrying, alright, and given in marriage and divorce, and eating and drinking, you get drunk and all this. The religious people heard John and they never could accept the truth. But for those that are elect, that's the thing about it. That's why you have not chosen God. God has chosen us. That's why he gave us this revelation to see. So it wasn't the day of John the Baptist. But the rest of them, no. So the same thing today. That's what Jesus said. It'll be the same. Alright? We don't have to worry about verse 40 to 44, actually. But you can see that it is very similar to what we read earlier in the book of Luke. Where there are two be in the field, one be taken, the other left. Two men be grinding in the mill, one be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour your Lord do come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. But this one is quite different from the book of Luke. But here it says in such a way that it pertains to watchmen. And every good man of the house, be responsible. You to your own family, me to my own. If we know when a thief is going to break into our house, of course we will watch. Obviously, right? So they will not be taken unaware. And in this generation, Christianity, or well, organized Christianity or Christendom today, have continued to do what they are doing. The program going on, yeah, Christ is coming, this and that, that's true. But have they heard that voice? Have they heard the shout, so to say, or the message of the hour to get us to see and to know the hour we live in? But in general, of course, every Christian says, yeah, Christ is coming, Christ is coming. And they continue their life, not the kind of life that God intended. That we should be perfect. We should come into the fullness of the world, and so on. If we are not prepared to that extent, then how can we ever see Christ? John the Baptist is a good example. I don't know how many thousands of people he had baptized, right? But do you think all of them really truly come to the knowledge of the Messiah? Huh? And of his disciples, when he said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. How many of them left him and followed Christ? His disciples, you know? Only two, as if I remember, only two. Left him and followed Christ. You see? So there are three kinds of people. The one that will follow Christ, the one that will stay with the messenger. You know what I'm saying, right? And there's the two group out there who just go about their own business. whether it be a religious business or social business, whatever they are doing. So only in that, I mean, you look at the day of John's at the first coming of Christ, there are always the few. Two out of how many disciples of John the Baptist? And all how many thousands of them he baptized? So here we are, we came out of the denominator system of the world, the sins of the world, and we came to this truth. But how many of us are actually falling closely to Christ? That is an important question. Is our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Alright? So now, in what we read in verse 40 to 44, let's jump all the way down to the book of Mark, chapter 13. And you can see and look at the comparison. Mark chapter 13, verse 32 to 36. Brother Henry.
Mark 13, verse 32 to 36. But of the day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, and ye do not know when, for ye do not know when the time is. It's like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for ye do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest some coming suddenly he find you sleeping.
Right. So, if you compare what we read in Matthew 24, 40 to verse 44 just now, to this Mark, it's kind of very different. Here in Mark, he talks about the Son of Man as a man taking a far journey, left the home, and give authority to the servant, and to every man his work, and command the porter to watch. Watch it therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh at even midnight, or cock crowing, or in the morning. Last coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. So now he's talking about the servants of God. He's talking about, we'll say the preacher. Okay? It's the master of the house. The Lord take a long journey as if he's not coming back. It has been 2,000 years already. He's been a long, long journey. Alright? It's a servant of the house now. You know, we're supposed to watch. Is that right? Well, we are supposed to watch. And if we are careless, and we find that in the book of Matthew, if you just go over to Matthew 24 again, go to the last few verses of it, and you'll see verse 45 to 51. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his house, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delay his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to drink and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he looked not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and pour him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, here we are today. A man who claimed, a preacher who claimed that he is the fulfillment of verse 45. Alright? A preacher who claimed to claim that he is the fulfillment of verse 45. That he is the faithful and wise servant. And people are following that. And that man is the Wartrain of Germany. And in Africa, in Congo, many of them believe that he was the fulfillment of this verse. But anybody who knows the Bible will read and know that it can't be. Because we already, he said, it deals with servants as we read in Mark. But here in verse 45, who that is a faithful and wise servant? not the faithful and wise servant, pointing to one particular person. Who is the faithful and wise servant whose Lord had made him ruler or a ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Who are these people? Who are these wise and faithful servants? They are there because, as I said this, Mark chapter 13 verse 34 says, servants. But here is a question, who is a servant? Anyone of all the servants, if one of them is faithful, if two of them is faithful, they'll be rewarded. That's what it means here. Not one particular person outstanding. Like we have in Nigeria, the lead apostle, who want to be the apostle of apostles. Right? But the question here is asked, whom is Lord and make him rule over his household to give them meat in due season? Now, we are living in this season. After the death of Brother Branham, after he passed over, how many years has it been? 65 to now, how many years now? 50? 54 years. 54 years now. And the brother minds and those are sick with, as I said, when John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Two of his disciples loved him and followed him, followed Christ. The rest still stayed with John the Baptist. And later on we can understand that when Paul went over to Thessalonica, he found a group of disciples there, right? Asked them, have you been baptized? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? He said, no, we have not heard of it. Because they have not followed the teaching of Christ. They only have followed the teaching of John that passed on to him, from John to Apollo, and Apollo to them. And that's what they know. And today, that's what we have. Now those that will stick to Brother Branham, same what Brother Branham said. They're not as wise as the disciples, the two disciples of John, that move out of John and follow the Christ, the one with the word. Like the man in Tucson, the preacher in Tucson said, Brother Branham has the word. But a young preacher said to him, but Jesus Christ is the word. Huh? Give me a new season. Our season is a different season of Brother Branham. Do you understand that? And Brother Branham's season was different from that at the very beginning of the 20th century. Well, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, right? There was a revival. People had to give and it went out. Then he came Brother Branham. And he started preaching, I think, at a young age. But when that mysterious ball of fire came, when he was baptizing the people in Ohio River, remember when the boy spoke to him? As John the Baptist was sending a message to forerun the coming of Christ, first coming of Christ. So are you sending a message to forerun his second coming? I think that year was 1933. That was a different season. But of course, the first season we have the Pentecost of the Brother Branham, then came the charismatic group. Every so often, maybe a decade or two decades later, there's always a change of the season. So our season right now, it says here, who then is a faithful servant? Any one of the servants of God out here in the world today who is fulfilling the fivefold ministry, if he is able to take up from the word of God, the treasure book of God, food in due season. That's what the Bible said. To give them meat in due season. Are you going to eat the same old thing that was given out there 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years ago? No. Today we have eaten food, far more meat than the one that Abraham gave. And that's for certain, that's for sure. But of course, again, when the Brahma doesn't like to hear that. They will always be saying to me, Bhargava, you think that you are more spiritual than Brother Brahm? No, no, I'm not. I'm not more spiritual than Brother Brahm. How do you compare spiritual? How do you compare quality of spirituality? How do you compare spirituality between one person and another person? Huh? Can you compare Daniel with Isaiah and Isaiah with Moses? John the Baptist? And yet what did Jesus say about John the Baptist? He's the greatest of all. With more sense. Not because he's more spiritual than the rest, because when John was in the prison, he said, I don't know whether he's the Christ or not. Right? And asked the disciples to go and follow from Christ, whether he's the one. And Jesus could just tell them, tell John, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. You know that? And yet John never did any miracles. And yet the Old Testament and Moses and Isaiah and all, yeah, they did miracles. And yet God, Jesus called him as the greatest. You cannot compare. This man of God will be more spiritual than that man of God. And in what sense are you talking about spirituality? Is it because he got the power to heal? Out there are many claims that have healing. Come. And out there in Nigeria, this man Amos claimed to be the lead apostles. And what is he teaching? Is his doctrine meat for due season? No. That's why every servant of God is to give an account to the master. And I want to be a faithful and wise servant. To be able to give out meat in due season. That's all I want to be. I'm not going to compare with somebody. I'm better than him. I'm smarter than him. I know my Bible better than him. I can't compare. Why is he using comparison? Because I'm no judge on any man. Not that I'm judge of someone else. To judge anyone. Because I stand in my, before Christ, either I stand or fall before him. Alright, that's why he said in verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find him so doing. So every servant, if he's doing that job, verily I say to you, that he shall make him ruler over his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, oh, my Lord delay his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant. Ah. You see what happened? And that's a bad thing. And here we have today servants, many other servants, condemn that servant of God all because they don't agree. Well, but this Amos out there, the lead apostle out there in Nigeria, I don't even know him. And yet he will smite me time and again in his message. All because he followed Brother Jackson. And he sent me the books. I just throw him through because I know that he is a man who is extremist, who prophesied that Brother Jackson would not die, but will make the rapture, but Brother Jackson died. And he twists and turns and gives some kind of excuses. Very smart interpreter. He's a lawyer. And that's why you can see how things are. And then here there is one over in, I think in America, and all he fights for with every preacher. He's very well known. Right now I can't even remember his name. And he was condemned every minister and his message. Yeah. Dalton Bruce is one of them too. How terrible those things are. Huh? Those, that kind of a preacher. And let's go on. He says, verse 50. The Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he look. Okay, verse 49, sorry. Sorry, verse 48. We finished 47. 48. But of that evil, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delay his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. Who are these drunken? Preachers out there who are drunk with false prophets, false doctrines, compromising with them. And do you know that in the end time message today, there are many churches, many preachers, they compromise with the charismatic, the Pentecostal. And they preach to the charismatic. And they are not true. In Nigeria, a whole lot of them out there. People are mixing with that. The Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he look not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yeah, some people say, because I'm born again, I'm a preacher of God, I'm sealed. What is the seal of God? Now we are sealed with the Holy Ghost until the day of our redemption, right? We are sealed. So I have the guarantee, I'm sealed. Then I come here and preach to you that God is five. And God has four hands. Would you believe? I'm deceiving myself. Just because I'm born again, I have Jesus as God, my Savior. I repent of my sin. And I feel good. I feel some warmth. I feel, I spoke in tongues. That has nothing to do with it. You know what Abraham said about it? It's nothing to do with it. What is the true evidence of the Holy Ghost baptism? If you do not know, go read the book. The Holy Ghost can only do one thing in your life. To take you to His Word. And which will teach you and make you to follow and be guided by Him into the holiness of God. Into the very character that God is. That's all He can do. To guide you into the very word that He said. Because this is the word of life. Outside of there is no life. It doesn't matter where you speak in tongues. But I'm saying even the devil speaks in tongues. We know the voodoo speaks in tongues. I don't know why you have seen it. In Singapore we have, in the temple medium, what we Chinese call Tan Ki. You know? The guy went over there, and the idol, he started to swing his head, la, 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 speaking tongue, and he cut his tongue a little bit, take a piece of yellow paper, he write something, and he interpret it. He speaking tongues, his eyes roll up in the air, and all that. I have seen it. So, remember that. So just not because you are a preacher, or you say that you are a Christian because you received the Holy Spirit, we can say that, all of that. But yet, the evidence is how you live your life. Next to your word of confession, and your action of your life, that must make the difference. Hope you understand that. Now, see here we have this book written by, some prophetic preacher. Now, I say this because there are, in Pentecostal circle, in charismatic circle, in our day, whatever denomination, they're always prophetic students. People like to find out, read the Bible, when Christ is coming, do a research in this and research in that. And sometimes the Bible, in article, when people are sending this book, this sort of book, you know, with some event, they write an article about, write a book about it and sell it, and they will call this world-renowned prophetic teacher, expert in Bible prophecy. I was thinking, like, they're so expert in Bible prophecy, how come they did not recognize the very hour that we live in, that the most important prophecy has already been manifest to us? Luke 17:30. And yet they interpret in another way, of course. That Luke 17:30 refers to the appearing of Christ. It did not talk about the appearing of Christ, which is the Greek word is epiphania. No, the Bible has different words. If you don't know what it means, it's another different thing altogether. Huh? Another Greek word is solu. So there's a lot of different words. So because there was some kind of event happened out there in Iran. And this is one of the books written. Now, they are talking about the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 49. Go to it. It's concerning this place called Elam. Alright, let's go. Jeremiah 49. 49 and verse 34. Alright. To verse 39. Can someone read? Yes, Brother Henry.
The word of the Lord that came into Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, Thus said the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the foremost of their might. Against Elam I will break the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and scatter them towards all those winds. There shall be no nations where the outcasts of Elam will not go. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before those who seek their life. I will bring disaster upon them. My fierce anger, says the Lord, and I will send the word sword after them until I have consumed them. I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from there the king of the princes, says the Lord. But it shall come to pass in the later days, I will bring back the captives of Elam, says the Lord.
All right, here. They take this prophecy. Why they're so interested? They say, oh, we saw this prophecy going to come to pass. Because why? The Iranian government have built a nuclear power here. A nuclear plant. Do you know that? They built a nuclear plant over there. And so America has wanted to destroy that. And, you know, and Israel wanted to destroy them. And so on and so forth. All this political talk. It's big. It's out there. Very big. So they're thinking that it is going to come to pass. This must be fulfilled. Okay. If it is so, let us begin from chapter 49, verse 1. Just look at it. Let me just pick up some of the words so you know. Concerning the Ammonites, thus said the Lord, have Israel no son? Have he no heir? What then do their kings inherit? God and his people shall dwell in his city. What is Ammonites? What happened to the Ammonites? Where are the Ammonites today? Who are the Ammonites? Remember? Who are the Ammonites? They are from, of course, if you say Ammonite, they must be Ammon's children, right? Descendants. So who is Ammon? Jimmy, you don't know. Descendant from Lot. Are they here today? Where is Ammon? The Ammonites. They were living here. This is the son of, right? Lived here. You know, this is the Dead Sea. Okay? Where are they today? Where is that Ammonite, Ammon country? There's no Ammon country. Okay. Okay. Then we go over to chapter verse 7. Concerning Edom, thus the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Tamar? Timah, his counsel perished from the prudent, as their wisdom vanished. These are all the prophecy, okay? Verse 1 to 6, the prophecy concerning Ammonites. Verse 7 to verse 22, concerning Edom. Then we have verse 33 to 27, 23 to 27, concerning Damascus. Alright? But he's not talking about Damascus as the one in Isaiah where you will be destroyed and be a root. This one is not a root yet. And then verse 28 to 33, concerning Kedar and Hazor. Look, here we have Edom. Alright? There is Hazor is over here. Here is Boraz. These are names that are mentioned in this chapter. Okay? And then we have in verse 34 to 39, that's where we have Elam. And the question is this. If Elam's prophecy is future, ahead or not fulfilled already, that means the rest of them must be also be for future. But what did we read just now in verse 34? The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, in the, Zedekiah king of Judah, saying, thus said the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. This was already revealed to Zedekiah before. And this is what Jeremiah is saying, it is going to happen now. And so all these prophecies, 49, they are all history. They're all history. But the thing is, because modern day happened to see a nuclear plant being built over in Iran. Here we have Kedar mentioned here also. Okay, these are old names. Okay? And Iran happened to be here and they have a nuclear plant here. And as usual, the interpretation you find over in verse 35. I will break the bow of Elam. To them, the bow of Elam is the nuclear plant where they build missiles. The bow. What bow means in the strength. You know, when you have the bow, you're talking about the strength. I will break the strength of Elam. They're saying you're going to break the strength of Iran. But let me say this, that the next prophecy that we are going to look at, that has to come to pass, will be the destruction of Damascus. But if the war breaks out and Mara is destroyed, then I can tell you the next movement will come, will have to be Ezekiel 38, 39, and when it does, all these armies in the north of Israel, to the east of Israel from the north, and even from Yemen and Libya, will come in and fight back. And of course, they will be destroyed. But this prophecy is already in the past. It happened that there is sometime, you know, just something that is still there. Like a compound prophecy, but it will not be just by itself. Alright? It will be, I believe, the Ezekiel 38, 39 prophecy that will bring on the mess of all this big battle, one against Israel, against one another, whatever they are fighting over here now. And we know that the war is really today quite a mess. And Iranians actually want peace. And Israel for so many years wanted peace. But the Hamas came along and destroyed. You know that Yitzhak Rabin, I think it was Yitzhak Rabin, was in the signed the peace treaty with Arafat. They called the Oslo Accord. Under Clinton. President Clinton's time. Remember Arafat and Yitzhak Rabin were shaking hands? There was supposed to be peace. But immediately after that was done and signed, a few weeks later, Hamas people went in and, you know, suicide bomber. Buses, many buses were bombed. Many people died. Many Israelites died. And the citizen was so upset against the government. You talk about peace. You're bringing us terrorism, not peace. You see how terrible this thing is? And now to this day, the circuit won't want to have a peace. But how are they going to have peace? Sudden destruction will come. And today with the trade war that we have with America, with China, Now you read the paper, it's in the China, Huawei is going to be, poof, it's gone. You think so? Huh? Of course, Chinese man be unfair. If you say the Chinese want to make deal with people, our rate of exchange is 2-1. I take 2, you take 1. Yeah. But a lot of people don't see how the manipulation works by the American. Everything that is going on, everybody loves Donald Trump out there. Saying that he's good. He's going to bring back economy. We'll see what happened to our economy. Now we are seeing about the four winds, right? That are being held back by the angels, remember? Economy, politics, religion, and military. And as Johnny Cash sings the song, according to the book, the wars and rumors of war, they're all coming, they're all here. Down here in the Philippines, Duterte, the people are upset. Over in Jakarta, a man in Indonesia, well, we have a Jokowi, right? He came back to power, and the other guy is not happy. Demonstrate, us people demonstrate, and so on. Huh? The world will never have rest. No peace. Now, when we have this kind of, people look at that, so, oh, yeah, this is going to come, how close we are. Well, it's okay. You can look at prophecy and all these things. But there's remember one thing. Knowing prophecy is one thing, but knowing that the hour that we live in is another. Because, see, it's not just about this is going to happen, that is going to happen, but the most important thing that is going to happen is the Holy Spirit working in our life. Because all the prophecy the Bible talks about that's going to happen to this world will happen. But the one thing that God desires and warns us about and prophesied about, that He's coming into the bride. That the Word of God must be restored back. That we must be grounded in the Word and be one with the Word. Is that happening in our life? Is that happening in the Christian life? That is one thing. Alright, don't get into the Celtic spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to read some verses now as we close. First Corinthians 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Verse 7 to 8. Now why am I saying this? Why am I reading something and reading this? Because I want to say about this. When people talk about the end time, they see the Bible. Oh, he's coming. Like what we have out there in David Koresh. With the Celtic spirit that they have. Jim Jones case. And even backward then, there are others. When the top of Christ coming, such as they sell all their belongings. Like for example in India, Lowry Muthukrishna. Remember about, you know the pastor Lowry? Yeah. Lowry. He was baptized by Brother Branham. He followed Brother Branham's message. Went back to India, he has such a powerful ministry. Remember I told you that when I was in Chennai one time in India, here came a man who was Lowry's disciple. And he had a talk with me. Because we went down to that area where the ashram is. What do you call it? Asylum. Because they believed 144,000 only would be raptured. The European, the Canadian, the American, many of them sold their property and migrated to India in their place and lived there. Waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They sold their property. Waiting for the day that the Lord will come. I can't remember what year it was now. It didn't happen. These people went back to nothing because they sold their properties. But the Indian believer that came to visit me and talk to us, some of the brother was with me, and he said, "Brother Gan, I was with that man. I was one of the team that moved with him in the, I don't want to call," he said, "the name," he gave a name to the van that they used to move them to the village to preach. So one day, Brother Gan, we were leaving and we went to the village to preach. As we went to the village, they called long distance, then when the petrol ran out, no more petrol. The van just came to a halt. We all got out of the van. Lord Bhakti Krishna said, "No problem. Fill it with water." He filled it with water. And then he closed the cab and he said that this Lord Bhakti Krishna tell the driver, "Get in the van." And then he slammed the van and he said, "Start!" And he started the van and the man moved on water. You believe that? So he told me, "Brother Gan, I was there. That man was so powerful. The work that he did, the miracle." That's why it was in Asia Magazine. I don't know, remember when you know about Asia Magazine? Some of you remember, if you subscribe to Church Time, back in those days, in the 60s, 70s, you have this magazine that comes within every Sunday, called it Asia Magazine. I have the cutting in my scrapbook. I think it must be still in the scrapbook there. If not there, it must be in my box of scrap. Imagine that. He told me very again. I was with him so long, I was fascinated. But one day, he said, he called me into his office. And he asked me, "Brigham," he said to me, he said, "Do you see the cloud up there?" Where the window was, he pointed. And he told this young man, told me, he said, "Brigham," not a young man, quite an elderly man now. He told me, he said, "Brigham, you know why he asked me that?" I said, "Huh?" He asked me because he wanted me to acknowledge that he is somebody. He asked me, "Do you see the cloud up there?" He said, "Yes." "Do you know what a cloud is that?" I said, "I don't know." "The cloud follows me where I go." He said, then his brother said, "Uh-huh." Then he asked me, "Do you know who I am?" And the young man said, "I don't know. I'm the Christ." "Yes. Do you believe that?" He said, "Yeah, do you believe that I'm the Christ?" The man said, "I said, no, you are not the Christ. You're the donkey that carries Christ." And he said, from that time, I walk off. He said, I realized that man becomes so powerful, so high-headed, to be kind. That's why it is all like that. You can do miracles, you come to a place, you think that you are God. Or that you are some kind of prophet. And he began to try to prophesy this, prophesy that. Oh. But we are living in time now, as it was before. Well, I don't want to say where I was, I don't want to mention the name. In one church, the pastor, because he was such a man of discernment, I was told that when he see a young man in the church going out with a sister and they're falling in love. And to him, as a man with a gift, he will approach the young man and the woman. "You are not fit for one another. For you, you should marry that sister. For you, you should marry that brother." Wow! Where did that come from? The man becomes such a pop-up top and begin to detect. You want to get married?
Marry the person.
This one, not that one. So you're telling whom to marry? Anymore, Paul? Everyone says, oh, you know, we're in a stage where we don't get married now. We just read on. Verse 7 to 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 7 to 8. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man have his proper gift of God. One after this manner, another after that. I said therefore to the unmarried and widow, it is good for them if they abide even as I. Well, that's Paul just suggestion. That's okay, right? Because the time is short, you know, if you're a widow, you already got a wife, but his wife passed away, be like me. I mean, that is ideal. Verse 32 to 35. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried, care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married, care for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Of course, of course, of course. Is that all right? Come on, brother. And if you, woman, sister, get married, you also care for your husband, right? Yes, ma'am. Verse 34. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman care for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit, but she that is married care for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast the snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that it may attain upon the Lord without distraction. Yeah, of course, not to cast stone of you. I cannot say, don't get married. Because the Lord is coming. When? If I were to tell you this, don't get married. Because the Lord is coming. And you must ask me when. Soon. How soon is soon? I don't know. Then shut up. Well, obvious, isn't it? Because he may come tomorrow, he may come a year from now, he may come, as Bob Graham said, 100 years. But we cannot dictate a person. Don't get married, don't persuade a person, don't get married. Paul said, I'm not just cast a snare on you. No, it's not that. But then if you want to serve the Lord, of course, ideally if you want to serve the Lord, don't get married. There's a Paul being a widow. A widow, he doesn't want to get married. Because he wants to concentrate on his life, preaching God, he can free to travel wherever he goes. That's why. That's the reason why, like Brother Pierre, his wife passed away now. He got time to go and minister the gospel. Huh? Isn't it? Free. You see? And there's another boy, I can't remember him now, his name. Also, the boy passed away, he could go free to go and minister the word. And there are those who don't want to get married. Good. Concern your life. Go. Preach the word. But if you want to get married, don't want to be bothered down and have a family of children, go ahead. See? Don't get to the place where Catholic Spirit comes in. Into the church. Like even Catholic Spirit will say, this you should not eat, that you should not eat. No. Do you get a point? I can come to a place we can say, okay, let us every day, 7 days a week, after you finish your work, go and take your lunch, we come to church here and pray for 1 hour. Every day after your work, okay? Wow. If I detect that you must come, it's terrible. Huh? See? We don't get into that spirit. 1 Timothy 4, 1. And this is true because this marriage issue is very common. It's a very common problem. Not only just in the days of old, but today. Because people are looking at the coming of Christ, coming soon and all that, we are in the end time. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 7. 1 Timothy. Somebody read it.
The
4 verse 1 to 7. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourishing the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fable, and exercise yourself towards godliness. The bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance.
Okay, well, that's it. You see that we should refuse profane all wise favor, right? No kinds of talk. Don't forbid people to get married. Don't say you cannot eat this food or that food. If you want to go eat, well, go be going eat. Hey, doesn't matter. Right? If I love my mission, I go to mission. But don't say you cannot eat this, you cannot eat that. But people become a strict thing, you know. I mean, when you come to the revelation, hey, being a vegetarian is good, right? Yeah, good. Go ahead, be vegetarian. You know, you can tell people to be like me, I'm a vegetarian. Good. But don't force a person. Huh? If I were to sit with you at the table and I eat a hamburger, the big hamburger, and you're eating vegetarian, don't look at me and say, "Brother, why are you eating your big burger in front of me?" Don't tell me, please. You eat what you want, I eat what I want. Correct? And so on. Okay. Let's go to 1 Peter 1:15. You know, when we are living in this age that we are living in is an age of change, right? And every year things changes very fast. Don't you agree? You agree with that? Things changes so fast, one moment, oh, this thing is that. Oh, this one is that. You know, so we are living in an age of change, and there's a lifestyles. And today, see how people dress out there, the woman dress out there in the world? Oh my. It's unbelievable. Many of them wear all these short. Not just miniskirt, they are wearing short. You know short? Short. Really? It's unbelievable. Not only the short, but the tank top is short also. And the hair is cut short too. And you know there's no more decency and morality in people today. Yeah. It's one thing when I was in the Philippines one time, I was in a van of this brother. I was sitting behind because it was a van and I was sitting. So we were going to church in the early morning, going to church. We came to a place where we passed by, the area was kind of a little bit quiet. Not many cars in the early morning. And as we drive, we saw the woman ahead of us, and she was completely naked. You know, just walking along the road. And then, I was thinking maybe in the van there's some clothing, some cloth, you know, because if the van belonged to a Chinese brother who sells textiles, sells clothing. I was looking for one, and maybe said, "Tell her to stop and give it to her," but they were not. You know, and a woman just wandering around naked. We have nothing to cover her up. Maybe she's mentally sick. Yeah, I understand. But today, women wear short, top and bottom short. So what's the difference? Think about it. Not only today's world, we are crazy people putting the kind of hair they have. You know, hair, the purple, blonde hair, brown hair is one thing, but the purple and the red, and even an elderly lady, 60 years old, wow! We lost our sense of decency. And it's not, this is according to scripture, we are living in a time when there's a lot of sin. And that's why Brother Bam used this word. He said, he used the word, a judgment time by sin. The Brother Bam used the word sin, that means to say that we are all being pressured. What we see, you know, I mean, there are changes. We want to change with the thing of the time. But look, we are Christian. We are Christian. And a sister, stop cutting your hair. You have to stand before God because of what you are. You are supposed to live your life like a Christian. Let's look at what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:15. Don't live in darkness and override God's plan and purpose in your life. All right, 1 Peter, someone read it. 1 Peter 1:15.
But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct.
Right. Chapter 2, verse 12. Read it when you find someone.
Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation.
Yeah, in your Bible, King James used the word, having your conversation. I like the word conversation. But that's okay, all King James usage of the word conversation. But in translation, your conduct, your behavior, your character. Your conversation means speak, your life speak as a conversation, right? Right, okay. 2 Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all those things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? See? What kind, when you see all these things, then what kind of person you ought to be? Living a careless life? Are you just waiting, not just as a servant of God, that I have to be wise and faithful in my dealing, giving out the meat in due season. But as for you and I, every one of you, you have to be watchful and prayerful and live that life and watching that He's coming too for you. Every Christian believes that they're going to make the rapture. And yet they live the life that they live. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believer in words and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Philippians chapter 1 verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it become the gospel of Christ. You see that? Let your behavior be as it become the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else absent, I may hear of your good affair, of your affair. That ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, struggling together for the faith of the gospel. Be careful. It's our life that we live. It's not giving dictation. Don't be cultic in spirit. Right? You all know what I'm saying? Yeah. Jubilee year, we know. Leviticus 25, verse 8 onwards. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbath of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbath of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement. Ye shall make the trumpet of a trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession. And you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall be that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow nor reap that which grow of itself in it, nor gather the grape in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof of the field. In the year of this Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. We are going to go back. As you say, return every man to his possession, to his family. We are going to return back to God. Because we are his possession. Right? Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3, 1 to 11. One day is for the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as one day. Creation day, 6 days plus 1 7th day. 7 days altogether. Man's 600 years, 6,000 years. Plus Christ 1,000 years. Christ 1,000 years is when he comes to reign, to rule. For 1,000 years. Right? This is called the age of regeneration. Or many people just call the millennium. Alright, it's 1,000 years. What year are we in now? We already passed 6,000. Yeah? Maybe somewhere our calendar is wrong, I do not know. But we already done past 6,000. Okay, Adam to Abraham, 2000. Adam is the first father. Abraham is also the father of Isaac. So, father to father era. Abraham to Christ. Abraham gave birth to Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Christ is the son of God. Right? 2000 years ago. The father dispensation, the son's dispensation. From Christ to the rapture, the Holy Spirit fall out after Christ ascended into heaven. To the return of the Holy Spirit for his people. The rapture, 2,000 years. 6,000 equals to 50, which is Jubilee, times 120. Got it? Because 120 Jubilee. Okay. You remember this chart? Alright. Watchman, what of the time? What of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh and also the night. Which is very interesting. The morning cometh, also the night. The truth cometh, the light cometh, and also darkness cometh. Falsehood comes as well. Alright, here we have this chart. We all know this. Laodicean age. 1906. But we all know 1906 because this is the very particular year. The earlier year is 1903 to 1909. But 1907 has a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Alright? So, if the church has started in 1906, around then, Zechariah 14:6, what he says, the evening time it shall be light. There was a day that's neither day nor light. No, neither light nor darkness. Let somebody read. Just read it right. Somebody read. So we want to read it how it should be. You got it? Zechariah 14:6.
Zechariah 14:6. It shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The light will diminish.
Right. Neither day nor night. Neither day nor, no night. It's a day that is grooming. And it was a day when the Holy Spirit was outpoured. That was the year. Okay? And then in 1933, when the man came upon the scene, River Ohio, when he baptized, I think the 11th person or something, I can't remember the number now. When the Board of Fire came down, and the voice spoke to him, as John the Baptist was sending the message for Christ's first coming. So are you sent with the message to foreruns Christ's second coming? Alright, Zechariah 14:7. Read that.
It shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor light, but at evening time it shall happen that it will be light.
Right, evening time. Okay? From 1906 to 1936, in this between the 30-year periods, there are four watches. Remember? 3 hours per watch. 30 years. Malachi 4, 5, and 6 came along. Before I sent Elijah the prophet, before the great coming day of the Lord, set in the heart of the children in the end time to the Father's feet. Alright? 1953 is when Barabbas started to preach. Come back to the world, come back to the world. Until 1965. That's a midnight cry. Right? Remember Matthew 25? temple of Jesus, terrible, that's a midnight cry. Matthew 25. So Malbraham's gone, 65. The following year, we have the Kuma inside is the day star, my beloved smile. So when we come out of the denomination darkness, we must enter into a Kuma of light. My beloved is mine. You know that, don't you? Outside, a great darkness, the cockcrowing, falsely, false prophet, liar, deceiver, wandering star, etc. Until we are in the Word of God, until we are in the Kuma of God's Word, you will have no light. You got all kinds of cockerel crying out there. Christ is coming, oh, he's there. Oh, Christ is there. I'm the lead apostle. And that's all the kind of cockcrowing. You know that, don't you? Yeah, that's what you mean. I think 1996, the morning cometh and also the night. 1996. You know, the year around 1990 something began. A lot of things changes in the world, actually. A lot of technology come forth, this and that, a lot of things. And now people think, oh, they're living in a utopia. Towards getting better, technology is so advanced. If you were back in the days of 60 something, medical science are very rough. Today, everything is very fine tuned. Everything starts from there, very fine. Well, the morning cometh, yeah, soon Christ is going to come. Everyone looking for that. 2019. We're already here. Right? How many more years left? And in 1948, the state of Israel became a nation. And up to here, 70 years already. 120 years. We're looking now at 120 years in the last age. If it began 1906, would it be the end? Because if it got 120 years for this church age to start now in 1906, what year there will be? 2026. Right? And then we have 7 years more to go from this year, or we have another 10 years to go. Based on that, what we see in Moses' song in the wilderness. So what we are looking at? This one? 2026? Is it too far? 7 years to go. So if you are greedy for wagyu beef every day, go ahead, eat it. But you know, we do not know. We're only looking. But looking at the world today, the condition of the world today, I don't think we have very much time, actually. It's getting more critical to the condition of the world. And do you know something? I heard in the news, but I wasn't paying much attention. Whether it was in the Arctic or in the Antarctic, the satellite found that there was a big crack in a big piece of glacier ice out there. It cracked until it melted away so much it cracked that you could even see the land underneath. Saw it underneath it. You saw how much is global warming is there on this earth. And you know the level of water has risen. And you know the weather is getting so hot. It hasn't been like that in Singapore for the last how many years, right? It never happened before. And now for the last few months, Singapore is so hot. So what do you think is going to happen? The fish out there is dying. Because the temperature has killed. They're killing them. The corals are dying. That's right. And then we have famine, droughts. May God have mercy upon every one of us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for all that you've given us in thy word. Father, we know Israel is past 70 now. How long is the generation, Lord? The people nor judge Israel, but your people that makes up the bride of Christ. We're all wondering, Lord Father, have you heard the message and came into the light of thy kupa to now be in oneness with the Lord? Has the light shone upon us? As thou look at us, Lord, whether we are virgin, whether we be faithful to the Master's word, and help us, Father, that we be made ready as wife for the return of our Savior and our Lord and our Master. Father, let the Spirit guide us, Lord. May we always be watchful and prayerful and examine ourselves every day as well, Lord. Considering, O Lord, our conversation in life in the gospel of Jesus. Father, we thank you now. We ask for your grace to continue working our life truly, Lord. We pray that you bless us today even so, asking this in Christ's wonderful name. Amen.